One of the most watched television phenomena of 2019 was the reality matchmaking show Love Island. The final episode in particular, drawing a spectacular audience, which turned out to be an incredible boost for Dublin singer-songwriter Ruth Ann. Love Island producers had chosen her song, The Vow, as the soundtrack to the last scene. This is the one where the four couples pair off and the winning couple, is declared. So when Ruth Ann came in for a Studio 8 session, there was only one song she was going to start with.
When time was up and the sun it dies, until the rivers flood and the ocean dries, hand in hand under the falling sky,
Dublin singer-songwriter Ruth Ann there with her song, The Vow. Okay, Ruth Ann, let's go back to that moment. Yeah. You're sitting at home watching the Love Island final.
Yes, sitting in my friend's house where I wrote the lyrics.
Oh, right, in your friend's house.
Yeah. The lyrics of The Vow, and I hadn't been at her house in 6 months and she just invited me over. Oh, come watch, you know, The Vow finale, or not The Vow, the Love Island finale.
Yeah.
I'm watching it and I, you know, when stuff happens so fast, it starts playing, obviously. In my head, I'm thinking, who's playing The Vow on their phone? Like, I'm looking around the room and then it was my boyfriend screamed. And I clocked on and I ran to the TV and I was like, is that The Vow? Are they playing The Vow? And then when I heard my voice, that was when I really screamed, because I was, because I'm obsessed with the show. It's like any songwriter's dream, because it's all drama and relationships and psychology and all that type of stuff. So I'm obsessed with it. And we had pitched The Vow to be put on it last year. So I was watching it every day, that thinking they're going to use it, and then they didn't.
So you'd kind of given up on it?
Given up on it completely. I was watching it just as a normal viewer. And then when they played it, and they played it for 4 minutes, it just kept playing. I was like, they keep playing it. Oh my God. Yeah, it was crazy.
Quite interesting how they used it actually in the final, because there were four couples left at this stage and it's almost as if it's a wedding scene. That's what it looks like, isn't it?
Felt like an engagement.
I think the four guys were standing down and, you know, at a lower level, and the four women then walked in one at a time to go to their various partners.
Yeah.
And the song was playing for each of the four couples.
Yeah, for all the four couples. It was so cool because the song was out a year ago. It was my first single I released as an artist, and it has a cult following of people who've used it for their weddings. I've had so many, you know, I get videos every other day, either getting proposed to, walk down the aisle to, or first dance song. When Love Island happened, then it almost like opened it up to this whole new viewership. Like, you know, it was an unbelievable moment for me, because a lot of people were tagging me saying, I love your new single. And I'm like, well, it's been out a year, but thanks. And even I've been in London and people have just come up to me and said, I'm using your song, The Vow, as my wedding song. And like, how much more better can you get than having being part of someone's history, like charts or whatever, but actually being part of someone's day like that, and their video, their wedding video, they'll always have that song. So it just like really took on a life of its own.
Yes, being part of somebody's big day is important, but it did have a huge effect in terms of the song, The Vow, and the charts.
Yeah, it went to number one on the Irish iTunes chart, and it got into the top 40 in the UK iTunes chart, which these days, it's so easy to stream music because it's free, but it's very hard to sell music. And so for me, it was such a huge moment for me, especially being an Irish female artist, to have Irish people get behind my music and actually want to buy the song and own it for themselves. So I was really, really happy.
A lot of your work up to recent times has really been writing for other people. Mm-hmm. Britney Spears, Niall Horan, Westlife, you know, big names. JoJo was in there as well. Yeah. Big hit for JoJo, hadn't you? What was the song?
I wrote the Too Little Too Late. It's just too little too late. Yeah, I wrote that right after my Leaving Cert.
When you're writing for somebody else, are you just, you know, are you writing this, you know, are you the gun for hire? You're writing a song and it goes out and somebody picks it up.
Yeah.
Or are you writing with some specific voice even, or some specific band in mind?
Yeah, I definitely am always writing with, I'm always trying to write something of substance, even though I've had ones that have been more novelty and fun, like the Britney Spears one and stuff. But when I'm writing with Niall, for instance, like, we want to write something of substance. You know, he loves Damien Rice, he loves the Eagles. So when we're doing his album, it was very much, you want to write the best song. I always, no matter if people are hiring me to come in and write with them, or for me, it's always about making the best song possible, because I believe that the best songs have their time. And I feel like, because I don't think of it like we have to write a hit today, I don't don't think about it like that. I think about what's the best song we can write today. And I feel like that's helped me in my career because I haven't gotten too technical about it or this. It has to be up tempo. It has to be this. It has to be pop. I've just thought about the best song. And luckily, I've been very lucky to have then some of them become hits.
And what about Ruth Ann, songwriter, talking to Ruth Ann, performer? Was that a difficult client relationship?
It's easier because I don't have anyone saying, well, I do. I have my own head saying, no, I wouldn't say that. No, I wouldn't do that. I think I've just, as a writer, what was so good about being a songwriter for the people is I grew to really know what I like and what I wanted for my music. So writing it was very easy because I kind of was my own therapist. I just have to kind of let those emotions come out onto the paper.
Yeah, and you had started, I mean, very young you were singing. So at what point did you kind of veer off into the songwriting and songwriting for other people, or did that just happen?
I think when you have a hit like Too Little Too Late, it came out when I was 19, you're the fresh meat in Hollywood. So you're the fresh songwriter and you're this young. She can write the hits for all these artists that I've spent millions on that I haven't broke yet. And you become kind of like this vehicle for them of these labels that have paid so much money on these artists. And they go, oh, Ruth Ann can write us that song. So I kind of did fall into it because for me, singing and songwriting was, I was always known as a singer. Like not famous, but in my, anyone who knows me would be like, I'm a singer. I didn't even know I was good. I just knew that when I sang, something happened between people. People would want to talk to me and understand me. So that's what I learned as a kid. So I was like, I'm just going to sing.
So you, as you said, JoJo, that the big hit then, you were 19. You'd gone to LA at 17, straight out of secondary school, bang, on the plane. Yeah. By yourself?
Yeah, well, I went with a trusted manager that my parents had got to know, that, you know, a family. He managed the script at the time. So I went over and I was working with Danny and Mark from the script and I was developing as an artist. But mum's only rule was you have to get your leaving cert. I was like, let me go. You're stopping me being discovered. But
that was when you were 10.
when I was like 15, I'm like, I need to be discovered now. You're ruining my career. But she did the right thing. She wanted me to have the, the leaving cert to fall back on. And then I went to LA and then it was my third day there when I co-wrote Too Little Too Late. So, I mean,
third day in LA.
Yeah, but it's
you had to wait that long.
Well, it seems like it was probably a quick thing, a quick thing to happen. But for me, I'd been writing songs and practicing my craft from when I was 7. So I always say to people, if you're doing your 10,000 hours, that moment is going to come for you. The opportunity meets being prepared. And I feel
you have to do the 10,000 hours at some point.
Exactly. And I had written over like 200, 300 songs by myself on piano and stuff before I went to LA. So for me, being 17 in LA felt like a lifetime. It felt like I'd been, I wasn't getting paid to do any of this, but for me, I was like, oh, this is my job. I write songs and I sing. You know, that was always my mentality. So when the song became a massive hit, it was like, oh, you're a songwriter. So then it was like, this is what you are. The industry kind of puts you in a box. Oh, this is what she is.
So you had to break out of that box and give us the debut album that's now with us?
Yeah. I think I definitely had to, not prove myself, but I think a lot of artists I started working with started keeping my voice on songs, started saying to me, you're an artist, you need to make an album. And I think for me, what I've learned is that the stars need to align and the timing needs to be right. And for me to write the album that I wanted to make, which is coming out October 4th, I had to live the stories and have the lyrics to say. And being in LA around all the feck boys as an Irish girl in the Hollywood parties and the VIP and the celebrities, I had to live that to write this album, and that's why it actually was, everything has worked out exactly how it was meant to.
What experience did you have to live to write Take What I Can Get, which is the song you're going to perform for us now?
Take What I Can Get is the single off the album. That was kind of, musicians. You date musicians. You know what it really is about, though? I was seeing, when you try to be friends with an ex, but secretly one of you still likes each other. So I always think there's a thing between like boys and girls who are best friends, but they have had a past or whatever. And I think there can be genuine ones. And then I've been a girlfriend of a boyfriend and gone, your friend still likes you. It's very obvious. Or I've been the girl gone, I kind of still like him, but I'm going to just take what I can get. Because to me, acceptance in relationships is how you move forward. So accepting someone that they're just your friend. So in the lyric, I say, I guess I'll take what I can get. It's got to be better than nothing. So it's almost better to be someone's friend than be their lover. And that's what the song is about.
Ruth Ann with Take What I Can Get. Take What I Can Get from Ruth Ann, and Ruth Ann's debut album, Matters of the Heart, released on October the 4th, as she told us, and her first Dublin show in celebration of that album release will be at the Academy in Dublin on October the 10th. You can find out full details on her Facebook page. That's Ruth Ann, all one word, and Ruth Ann with an